Looks like it's going to be the hottest year on record globally.
Days, that were 30 degrees or hotter.
And that will only escalate in the coming years if we do not tackle climate change.
You're listening to the Climate Council podcast.
Welcome to the Climate Council podcast. I'm Alexia Boland. In October 2017, climate scientists from the Australian National University released damning data predicting Australia's biggest cities could experience unprecedented extreme heat by the end of the century. The research expects cities like Sydney and Melbourne could be hit with sweltering conditions reaching as high as 50 degrees, all as a result of worsening climate change. Already in Australia, climate change is driving more frequent and intense extreme weather, including heatwaves, supercharged storms, droughts and bushfires, and along with the back-to-back bleaching of the Great Barrier Reef. Today, climate change-fueled severe heatwaves are already placing our electricity grid at risk, with ageing coal and gas power stations struggling to cope when the temperatures rise. Today's episode features Climate Council CEO Amanda McKenzie and climate counsellor and energy expert Professor Andrew Stock, looking at how these old coal clunkers struggle in the heat and why Australia's transition to a 21st century clean renewable powered grid is the smart solution to providing the nation with reliable electricity and tackling climate change.
In the last few days, a report was issued by climate scientists which talked about how our major cities will have to deal with temperatures as high as 50 degrees C in summer days. That really stresses infrastructure. Already last summer in February, we saw over 4,000 megawatts of thermal plant, coal and gas plant, not being able to work because it was too hot, partly because they're old, but mainly because it was too hot. And what a contrast it is with technologies that are modern, that are new, and that are reliable. People tend to say, well, you know, renewables aren't always there, the sun doesn't shine. But the reality is, if you back renewables with storage, A, the investments, latest technology, and modern, but B, that storage can provide that renewable power 24/7. So whether the storage is batteries, whether the storage is pumped hydro, or whether it's solar thermal, these all are available to provide power 24/7, to take the power from the sun and the wind and make it available when we need it. Most hot days in summertime, the sun shines. So we can provide through solar and, you know, in some areas wind, that power that we're using through the day, and then through into the evening the storage will provide that extra period of time that we need it. These are all possible with modern technologies, and unfortunately the technologies of yesteryear don't provide that. Yes, we had hydro, but it was mainly run-of-river hydro. It wasn't necessarily there if we had dry seasons, whereas pumped hydro can be there all the time. We just reuse the water. But the important thing when we reuse the water and pump it uphill is that the water and the power we use to pump it comes from renewables. So there's never any extra emissions. It's all just renewable power. We're just reusing the water. So it also helps to make us more resilient. Perhaps just to touch on resilience, it's high risk to double down on old coal fire stations that are big power stations, because one of the worst nightmares for a grid operator is if they lose a big power station. And that can happen instantaneously. You know, something like a Loy Yang or a Liddell dropping off the system drops several hundred to thousands of megawatts off in an instant. And without storage, that sort of problem creates an issue for all of us. Blackouts are almost assured. By having a more distributed renewable system using multiple sources of energy input, wind, solar, solar thermal, biomass, and spread out more regionally, what it guarantees is actually more supply assurance than we would get from concentrated assets, which are higher risk when things fail.
You're absolutely right, Andrew. I think what we know is that climate change is exacerbating extreme weather, and we've seen that in the last summer where there was a number of heat waves that put a lot of pressure on old coal-fired generators. And what happened in those times was that solar was protecting the grid by providing a whole lot of power at those times when there's a lot of sun as well as a lot of heat. But other technologies like solar thermal, for instance, could also be filling that gap. And also, the more renewable energy you have across the grid, the more beneficial it is. So the wind might not be blowing in one place, but it's blowing in another place. Similarly, it might be cloudy in one area, but sunny in another area. So you build your resilience by having a lot of renewable energy distributed across the grid. And that protects you, in contrast to having just one big power station that's powering into the grid. If any of those risk factors or vulnerabilities go down, then you're at a loss. But if you've got lots of different energy sources all feeding in, you're on a winner. So economies like New York City, for instance, after Hurricane Sandy, really reflected on, well, how do we power our energy system into the future when we have exacerbated extreme weather events? And what they've done is put solar panels, for instance, on hospitals and on schools and on public infrastructure so that they can continue to power those critical pieces of infrastructure during blackouts, but also to provide more resilience into the grid longer term.
And that's where we're going to head in the future. So we'd be far better as a nation to be focusing on the future, where we build that resilient system that can deal with the temperature extremes and the weather extremes we can expect in the future. And we do that by having a system that's diverse regionally across Australia, that uses a range of fuel inputs, wind and solar in particular, and hydro and biomass. And we have it interconnected through stronger interconnection. We've got a very skinny grid at the moment. So the more we can make that grid more interconnected, the more resilient it will be in the face of climate disruption. And more local generation is also better, whether it's hospitals or whether it's your own house. Increasingly now, battery systems for the 1.6 million households that have got solar on their rooftops will ensure that they can operate their house and what's called island their house if the grid were to go down, but also provide a service through those battery systems to the rest of the grid at times of high demand, when they can inject power not only from their solar panels back into the grid but from the batteries as well. But to realise these sorts of things, we can each do it individually if we choose to. But what would be really terrific would be if we can use some of the smart IT people that are out there, the startup companies, working with some of our bigger energy companies to roll these sort of systems out, so that the true value that's latent within our these investments and these new technologies can be mobilised to really make our system really powerful, really strong and resilient and actually affordable. Because it's the cheapest forms of electricity we can get today are from renewables.
And speaking of batteries, we did some polling on Australian attitudes towards batteries because we really wanted to understand how much people knew. And it was striking just how much Australians know about batteries. Over 70% of people think that batteries will be commonplace in households, as common as dishwashers, in the next 10 years. And similarly, most people think that large-scale grid batteries will be commonplace within 10 years as well. So I think Australians appreciate how quickly this technology is changing, how much the costs are coming down. Unfortunately, we're not seeing that level of understanding at the federal parliament, or if you like, there are significant blockers within the federal parliament that are keeping us in the 20th century when we need to be building a flexible grid for the 21st century to get down prices, get down pollution and create that resilience in the system so that we can prepare for extreme weather events. That research that came out yesterday showed that we could be facing 50 degree weather days in some of Australia's capital cities, and the pressure that that would put on the grid and on key pieces of infrastructure is enormous. And our grid is simply just not prepared for that sort of temperature, let alone even some of the temperatures we're experiencing in summers that have just gone by. So we do need to have a flexible system for the 21st century that is highly resilient, highly diversified. And unfortunately, we're just not seeing the action at a federal government level at this point. And it'll have to come from state governments if it's not coming from the federal government, because we don't have any time to waste.
That's right. We don't have time. The old coal-fired stations that we have are getting older, and they are going to close at some point in time. And it won't be that far away, and it will probably happen quickly, notwithstanding Finkel's recommendations to provide adequate notice. As AGL has done in the case of Liddell, more than adequate notice. But instead of being in denial federally, we ought to be looking at addressing these inevitable changes in a positive way, so that we can put the right policy framework in place ahead of time, so that industry can step in and invest the capital that is required to bring the capacity on before, you know, existing stations close, because that's the best way to deliver supply in an assured way, to keep downward pressure on price, and to avoid the sort of upsets and surprises that happen or could happen with power prices. No one wants to see high power prices. Renewables are the cheapest forms of electricity we have going today, and they keep getting cheaper, and we're seeing that also now with batteries, with storage. So let's not double down on coal, let's double down on renewables and storage, and instead of backing, you know, the 50-year-old clunkers, let's get with the 21st century. That's what Australians want us to do. They want our government to do it and show leadership, and they'll willingly get behind it, as you say, notwithstanding the odd blocker. But the reality is Australians want to see a positive future. The beauty about these technologies is they can deliver that positive future now at lowest cost. So we just need to stop stuffing around and get on with it.
Absolutely.
That's the latest from the Climate Council podcast team. You can access all of the latest Climate Council reports and fact sheets at climatecouncil.org.au. You can also follow us at Climate Council on Twitter and /Climate Council on Facebook. Don't forget, the Climate Council is 100% independent and community funded. We rely entirely on donations to fund our critical research, campaigns and projects. So please help us support our work and donate via our website today. Okay.